Welcome back to Through the Word. Today we'll be in 2 Kings chapter 21. Just a reminder, we're not going to be taking any more field trips to the northern kingdom of Israel. They're gone, and with them, 9 of the tribes of Israel and the majority of the Levites. The other 3 that were left, Benjamin, Paul was from that tribe, Judah, the Messiah would come through that line, and the Levites. And that's because they were spread out to the north and south in the cities of refuge. But now, only a few of those were left in the southern kingdom of Judah. That's why in the New Testament, we only have these 3 tribes referenced. So when the Revelation talks about the 144,000 from the 12 tribes, you know it's symbolic of the entirety of the people of God. Genetically, 9 of those tribes just didn't exist anymore. Just as God wiped out the 9 tribes of the northern kingdom, this chapter sets the stage for Judah to be exiled into Babylon. The key verse of the chapter is verse 9. Manasseh led them astray so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord destroyed before the Israelites. The list of sins are found in verses 3 through 6. We're told that under Manasseh, he rebuilt the high places. He worshiped the stars. He built altars in the temple of the Lord and sacrificed to pagan gods there. He sacrificed his own son there in a ritual. And lastly, he practiced pagan witchcraft, spiritualism, and occultic practices. And verse 6 tells us, very pointedly, it made God angry. Have you ever had someone trying to track dog muck into your house? We've all had the experience of saying, hey, I smell something. Who stepped in it? Was it me? Okay, everyone check the bottom of your shoes. Now that's normal, and hey, it happens. I'm not judging. But when it's caught, and somebody brings it in or tracks it across your car, but it's bad enough. But what would you do with someone who loved dog muck? They loved it so much that they covered themselves head to toe in it. When you confront them on it and say, hey, you can't come into my house, they say, but I love it. It feels nice on my skin, so warm, and the smell, I simply love it. It oozes between my toes like precious mud snakes. They'd stink. And everywhere they went, they got dog muck all over everything, like Pigpen off of a Charlie Brown cartoon. If that guy tried to enter into your house, he'd be like, whoa, partner, you're not bringing that stuff in here. Somebody covered in it from head to toe? What would you do if you came home and everywhere, streaked throughout your house, was dog muck? On the sofa, on the floor, anywhere they touched a light switch or whatever, you'd come home and you'd be like, get out of my house now. I don't care who they were, you'd be like, out. Grandma, get out. You're covered in dog muck. Well, that's what God sent the prophets to tell the kings Manasseh and his son Amon at the end of the chapter. Amon doesn't last long as he's assassinated. And we see that the southern kingdom is becoming like the northern kingdom in every way. For 57 years, these two kings would reign and lead the nation into covering themselves with dog muck, spiritually speaking. It was all the rage in Paris, and now it was catching on in Judah. In verse 10, we read, the Lord said through his servants, the prophets, Manasseh, king of Judah, has committed these detestable sins. He has done more evil than the Amorites who preceded him, and has led Judah into sin with his idols. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I'm going to bring such disaster on Jerusalem and Judah that the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. I will stretch out over Jerusalem the measuring line used against Samaria and the plumb line used against the house of Ahab. I will wipe out Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping and turning it upside down. I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and give them into the hands of my enemies. They will be looted and plundered by all their enemies. They have done evil in my eyes and have aroused my anger from the day their ancestors came out of Egypt until this day. And in Jeremiah 15, verse 3 through 4, God says through the prophet Jeremiah, I will send 4 kinds of destroyers against them. The sword to kill, the dogs to drag away, and the birds and wild animals to devour and destroy. I will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth because of what Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, did in Jerusalem. It's mind-blowing to think that Manasseh's evil was worse even than the pagans, the pagan people, the Amorites, that they had replaced in the land. and it seemed to chart a course that no matter how hard another king after him might try to pull out of the nosedive, the momentum from his actions was just too strong. Judah was going to crash and burn. The people were too far gone, and despite the reforms that future kings would bring, and they would, the people would now have a taste for dog muck that would be hard to undo. Now, what 2 Kings doesn't tell you, but 2 Chronicles 33 does, is that Manasseh has a brush with death just like Hezekiah did yesterday when he's captured by the Assyrians during a battle. And miracle of miracle, this king, who is said to be the worst of all, worse even than Ahab, the most wicked of kings, repented. Let's read the account in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, because it's pretty cool. Verse 10, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So the Lord brought against him the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. When he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. Verse 15, he got rid of the foreign gods and removed the image from the temple of the Lord, as well as all the altars he had built on the temple and the hill in Jerusalem, and he threw them out of the city. Then he restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed fellowship offerings and thank offerings on it and told Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. The people, however, continued to sacrifice at the high places, but only to the Lord, their God. And although he actually repented, he couldn't undo the consequences of what his actions had wrought. You know, I want to remind you something that's extremely important to remember. No matter who you are, or what you've done, at any point you can always, like Manasseh, humble yourself and repent. And repentance accomplishes the following things. Number one, we see in this passage, God forgives sin's guilt. Number two, God sets us free from sin's power. But the third thing we see is the consequences of sin usually remain. And that's why it's not really a good idea to screw around. Those of you that are out there today that have been raised in the church, you've heard all your life that God is merciful, that Jesus will forgive you of all of your sins. And while that's true, as I've said many times before, the thing that people often don't realize until much later in life, in fact, sometimes before it's too late, is that the only thing that can't really be undone is the consequence of sin. And despite Manasseh repenting, and the people following suit, he couldn't undo the consequences. You know, my prayer for you is that you wouldn't have to leave the safety of the father's house like the prodigal to understand God's grace. You know, the elder son just couldn't understand why he was being so good, and the father was lavishing so much on the prodigal. But at the end of that story, the father turns back and says, "My son, everything I have is yours. Did you not know that?" Believer, I want to let you know today, there's nothing that God withholds from you. He loves you so much. And if you're wandering super far astray, like Manasseh, like the prodigal, God is there for you today. All you need to do is turn back to Him, and He'll receive you and even run at you with open arms. God was moved by the brokenhearted prayer of Manasseh and in the previous chapter of Hezekiah. And it'll be no different for me and you. Are you beginning to see a pattern? Well, read through the Word today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.